Can I ask you this morning to pay special attention to this sermon, because the passage is not easy to understand. And if you don't know your Christian theology more deeply, there's a possibility that this passage will frighten you at first. Right, so probably what I'll do is give you the bad news first, and then we'll go on to the good news. But let's just read together three verses from the passage that were just read. Verses 14, 16, and 18. Can we read it together, please? We know... What did I say? 1 John 3:14. That's what I said. 14. We know from life to death because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Now stop. Did you hear that? We know that we've passed from life to death because we love our brothers. What does this mean? What sort of love? Verse 16, I'm going to just read this, listen. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brothers. That sort of love. Verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Can we pray, please, over these words? Dear Father, we confess, sometimes sit in church and half hear the words. Lord, we realize our minds are so distracted so easily. But God, if these words are true, we know we must hear them. Please give us focus. Holy Spirit, give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. I think if there's one word that is probably misunderstood and yet overused more than any other word, it's the word love. It's a word we all talk about. And I bet if I had to ask you, you all think you know what the word means. And yet here's the funny thing. If I were to ask you, what do you mean by love, one by one? I bet you we'd all have different definitions. Because love can mean different things to different people. What is love? Is it a feeling you have? Is it a desire? Is it a particular action, a behavior pattern? Is it a romantic encounter? Is it kindness? Is it compassion? What does love mean? And it's not as easy as it sounds. The Greeks had five words for the one word love we have in English. What does love mean? Love's an ambiguous word. Now, you may be thinking, well, so what? You know, okay, we've all got different ideas of what love means. And let's face it, different strokes for different folks. Does it really matter if we all understand that word love differently? I would like to say this morning, it matters profoundly. We need to understand what John is saying here, and it's a matter of eternal life, eternal damnation. It's that serious. You see, today in our text, we're told that love, Christian love, is proof of your Christianity. Get that into your head. The evidence that you are truly a regenerate Christian is that you love the brothers. Let's look again at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Did you get that? If you're a Christian, you will love your brothers. In other words, you will love other Christians. And we're told if you don't love other Christians, you remain in death. In other words, you were never truly converted in the first place. That is what it's saying. So, without any further ado, here's the application. Do you love church people? Do you love the brothers? You know, I'm not being sexist there. Brethren is a legal term, and it's all those adopted into the family of God. I'm not asking whether you like everybody here. I'm not asking whether you get on with the people of this church. I'm not talking about Sunday smiles and trying to be nice to people. I'm not talking about tea party mentality. I know I'm not the most gregarious of people. I'm sorry I'm not. I don't know why you call me as your pastor, but I hate cocktail parties. You know where you stand with your glass and your cup of your little cake and everyone gathers in groups and you've got to sort of keep the conversation going and you chat about sweet nothings and I hate that sort of thing. I shrivel up. I just find I've got to get away. I can talk for hours about things that are burning in my heart, but I can't waffle. Love in the church is not us all sitting around and being nice to one another because it's Sunday. Going out your way to like someone that you don't particularly like. But it's Sunday and it's church, so let me go up and say, hello, how are you? That's not love. In fact, let's face it, that's hypocrisy. So, do you this morning love your brethren? Do you love other church people? What does this mean? Well, look at verse 16. This is clear as daylight. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That's what this love is. What we're being told here is this. If we are genuine Christians, as we read in the text, if we've passed from death to life, then, and if we're not hypocrites, we will love other church people. What do we mean by love other church people? Love in a Christ-like way. Love sacrificially. Love as Christ loves his church. And if you think, well, I do love everyone, but it's all in my heart. Look at verse 18. Dear children, let us not love in words or tongue, but with actions and with truth. Listen once more. We know that we have passed from death to life. Because we love our brothers. Love. Not sentimentality, which is the bane of Christian church life very often. Not emotionalism. But we read, we must love just as Christ loves his church with that sacrificial, Christ-like divine love. Agape. Well, do you love other Christians this morning? As you hear God's word, do you love the brethren? Do you love other Christians like this, the way we read here? Do you love as Christ loves the church? You know, when I first read this passage, it really used to bother me. You see, many people read the Bible so superficially, we just skim over this. And here's my problem. I may like you all, I may like you very much, but I'm going to be very honest, I can't say that I love you like Jesus loves you. I can't. Personally, I can be very selfish. It's sort of ingrained into my Adamic nature. I can be self-centered. I tend to like people who like me back. That's just the way it is. I tend to like some people better than I like other people. So I may like you, but do I love you with the same love that Christ has for the church? Do any of us here today love the brethren as Christ loved, sacrificially and divinely? Come on, if we're honest, we'll have to admit we don't see that love. I've been in, this is my sixth church, giving my age away, but this is my sixth church. I've never witnessed Christ-like love in its purity anywhere. Have you? And today we're being told in unambiguous language that love, agape love, Christ-like love, is the proof that we are Christians. That's what the text is saying. How does that grab you? Does it worry you at all? It should worry you. We read in the Heidelberg Catechism, question 3. Are you able to love your brother? And the answer of the catechism, by no means. For I am by nature prone to hate. Well, that's pretty encouraging, isn't it? We cannot love like Christ. And yet here we're being told, if we are Christians, we will be recognized by the Christ-like love we have for the brethren. How do we solve this problem? Well, I began to do a bit of reading on what the old Christians believed about this passage. And I was very encouraged by the writings of the Puritans, and even old Father Augustine had amazing things to say about this passage. And if you get what I'm going to say now, you won't be worried anymore. You'll either walk out of here saying, hallelujah, I love the brethren, or you'll walk out thinking, I'd better get to love the brethren and be saved. Let me show you, in the light of the context of 1 John itself, what this passage is actually saying to us. So if you turn with me to chapter 4 of 1 John, chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to read just this one verse, a well-known verse. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's a profound statement. Ho theos agape istin. God is love. I want you to notice that statement is not a verbal statement. It's not saying God feels love, or God practices love, or God possesses love. It says God is essentially, ontologically, actually love. What does that mean? God is love. Because we're told we love because God is love. Now, how many of you know what it means? How many of you are waiting for my answer and you know what I'm going to say? This is what amazes me. We've got to know our Bibles, because we can't just slip past that sort of statement and not know what it's telling us. Here we're being told we must love with Christ's love, or otherwise we're not Christians. Now, how can this be so when I claim to be a Christian and I know I don't love like Christ? Well, God is love. God, if I put it this way, what if I told you that God is not a person? Would that surprise you? God is not a person. God is three divine persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is one God, three persons. Father, Son, and Spirit are bound together in one Godhead. Now, the theologians tell us God is the bond of three divine persons. The bond which is God, we call agape, love. Love is the attraction, the adhesive, the magnetic bond that holds Father, Son, and Spirit into the single Godhead. Does that make sense? Love is the glue that holds the three persons into oneness. Love is spiritual attraction, divine spiritual bonding. God is love. Love is God. Love is that which makes the triunity the single divine being. Now, do you get that much? Love is the glue that holds the Trinity into oneness. Eternal love is the bond of the three into one. Love. Now, when God put his Holy Spirit in you, do you realize what happened? You became filled with the divine presence. Remember, God is attracted to God by love. Love draws God into God. Now, when you, a spirit-filled Christian, you've got God in you. When you come to church and meet with other spirit-filled Christians, what happens? There ought to be an attraction. There's attraction. You're drawn into koinonia, Christian fellowship. Because Christ is in you and Christ is in your brother, there's a bond, a drawing together, a magnetism. Christians, spirit-filled Christians, are attracted to other spirit-filled Christians. And the love that's in you is the love of Jesus Christ that laid down his life for his church. The love of Christ has been shed abroad in your heart. And when you walk into a place where there's other people filled with God, agape, love. The same bond that holds the Trinity into unity holds the church in koinonia. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example to explain. I used to be a missionary in Transkei, South Eastern Africa. And I remember once I had to go and preach in an area where nobody spoke English. I was very nervous. I had an interpreter. And I went to this place in the middle of the bush. There were no cars, no nothing. People didn't wear shoes. There were no radios, no nothing. It's just the kraals, they call them. Huts. And there was a crowd of about 100 people squashed into this hut, worshipping God in their own language, in Xhosa. I can't speak the language at all. But I remember going in there with my sermon and the guy was going to interpret and I felt, oh, they don't know me. I don't know them. I'm so lost. But the moment the worship began, I felt such a oneness with those people. We couldn't understand each other, but the magnetism of agape was there. That which draws the Father, Son, and Spirit into the unity drew me into koinonia, fellowship. And I felt I loved those brethren with Christ's love. Do you get it? I remember once I was in the army. I was called up regularly, about once a year, to do silly little camps. And I'd just become a Christian, and I went to an army camp once, and all the guys were swearing and carrying on, and I was a bit lost. But I noticed this other guy. There was just something about him. Well, at lunchtime, I was sitting down all on my own at all the big tables, and I was a bit off, and I was sitting on my own at the table. And this guy came up to me, put his plate down, and said, "Sorry, but are you a Christian?" I said, "Yeah, how did you know?" He said, "Praise God, I'm a Christian." There was just that attraction. This is what it means to love the brethren. We love the brethren, not with our own. We no longer live. Christ lives in us. And it's Christ's sacrificial love in me, that's in me, that's attracted to the Christ in you. I know I'm a Christian because I'm attracted to church people, the bond. If this morning you don't like being with Christians, and Christians get on your nerves and you can't wait to get out of here and be with ordinary people again, you know what I'm going to say. Don't kid yourself. We know we've passed from death to life because we love our brothers. It doesn't mean we've become perfect, because you'll only be perfect in heaven. But there is the love of Christ in you that laid down his life for sinners. He's in you, and you'll be attracted to others. We read in the book of Romans that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God. I can say right now, when I'm attracted to your Christianity, I love you as Christ loves. When I first became a Christian, I once tried to bring a non-Christian to church with me. Well, I really wanted him to believe what I believed. And we went to church, and he sat in the pew at the back. And it was a dowdy church, I have to admit. It wasn't cool like you guys. It was a real dowdy church. And most of the people were about 50 years older than me. But I just loved my church. And I remember my friend was just puzzled. He was looking around and listened to this sermon and went out. Afterwards, he said, "I can't for the life of me understand what you see in those people. What is attracting you to that place, when he could be with us in the pub having a whale of a time?" I couldn't explain. It was something drawing me. The love of Christ that's now in me was drawing me to the love that's in them. And we were drawn into koinonia as the Trinity is drawn into the Godhead. Love is the bond that holds the divinity into one. Love is the oneness of the church. And we know that we are Christians this morning. You may not be perfect. You've got lots of faults. But you can say this: I know one thing. I love the brethren. I'm drawn. I can't stay away. I know that I'm in this oneness that is love. Let's pray. Oh, in Jesus' name, Father God, I just pray that you will help us to realize we could never love. Help us not to be Pharisees. Help us to stop pretending, Lord. Help us to realize the only love worth mentioning is the love you put in my wretched heart. But, oh God, your love now burns in me. And I know the love burns in my brothers and sisters. And may that love ignite into a church that's on fire with God. Father, thank you that you draw us together from so many different age groups, personality types, tastes in art and music. And oh God, we're just drawn together. And we know we've come from death to life because we love the brethren. Praise you, Lord. Amen. We're going to close with a pretty well-known hymn.